WFSU-FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the Capital Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting of August 11, 2016, a forum featuring the candidates for Leon County Sheriff. This program was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee. Now to moderate the forum, here's Tampa Bay Times Tallahassee Bureau Chief Steve Busquet.
Quickly on the ground rules. Each candidate will have 1 minute for an opening statement. Each candidate will have up to 1 minute to respond to questions being posed by me. If a candidate mentions his opponent by name in his answer, the candidate who is mentioned will have up to 30 seconds for a rebuttal. I have the discretion to jump in if maybe a question is not being answered appropriately or we want to have further clarification. And each candidate will get 1 minute for a closing statement as well. Before we had the debate, the candidates drew lots to determine which order they would go in. So the first opening statement is from Tommy Mills.
Good afternoon, Tiger Bay. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to speak and to let you know why I'm running for Sheriff of Leon County. I'm running for Sheriff of Leon County because I care. I care that my home is safe. Leon County is my home. I care that my family is safe. My family was born in, I was born and raised here in Leon County. My wife was born and raised here. We've raised our three girls here, one attorney, one speech therapist, one doctor of physical therapy. God has been good to us, and this is my county, and I want my county to be safe. A young lady I married, and I married up, not down, 38 years this month. I'm a deacon at my church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm running for the office because I feel that I can make a difference. It is time for change here in Leon County. So far, our crime rate, 2 years running, we have the worst crime rate in the state of Florida. I can make a difference in that. It's time for someone to go down in our community and stand up to the criminals and say, it's not on our watch.
Thank you. Sheriff Mike Wood.
First of all, thank you, Tiger Bay, for having us here. I'd much rather have my meal and watch, but today's my opportunity to be in the barrel. So thank you for having us here. Be kind. I know you're an irreverent group. I am born and raised in Tallahassee. I've worked for the Leon County Sheriff's Office for 33 years, as you heard before. I'm married for 26 years. I have two daughters who both attend college here locally. My wife is also a native Tallahassean. I had the privilege to start with the Sheriff's Office in 1982 as a volunteer in the reserve unit. I was hired in 1983, and the following 33 years, I've had the opportunity to serve in every capacity and every rank the Sheriff's Office has, including the jail director, director of law enforcement, as well as the SWAT team member and SWAT team commander. I just feel like my experiences, my commitment to leadership gives me a unique opportunity to lead the Sheriff's Office forward. Unlike some of the other candidates up here today, I think I'm uniquely qualified, and we'll probably have the opportunity to talk about that in a little bit. Thank you.
Next opening statement, Charlie Strickland.
Hi, I'm Charlie Strickland, and I want to be your elected sheriff of Leon County. Excuse me. I'm originally from Marianna, Jackson County. I came over here 30 years ago and went to FSU. I have a bachelor's degree from there. When I was 40, I went back and got a master's in business from Florida State University. I am a small business owner. I run Talon, co-owner of Talon Range, Talon Training Group. I'm Talon Holsters. We do a lot of business nationally. We've trained through Talon over 6,000 people to carry and concealed and protect themselves here in this community. Being from Jackson County, I had to take a lot of jokes from Sheriff Campbell back in the day until he married Michelle. I was the Jackson County redneck affirmative action hire until he married one. And we were able to, I never had to listen to that story again after I said, Sheriff, why don't you go home and talk to your wife about that? So anyway, we'll get into some qualifications. Listen, I've worked in most of the big units in the agency, SWAT team, violent crimes. I've done those things, and we'll talk more about that because I've talked too long and ran out of time.
Opening statement, Walt McNeil.
Good afternoon, Tiger Bay. Steve Busquet has already indicated to you what my qualifications are, my background. Let me just say to you that turn on your television, read any paper any day of the week, and the first thing you will know is that law enforcement is in crisis. That crisis is being predicted by those who understand criminology and understand what's going on in our country. There are predictions that say we can expect to have in America, on an ongoing basis, terrorist activity. The criminologists are telling us that we can expect to have civil unrest, just as we've seen over and over in other places of our community. Law enforcement is going to be challenged at every opportunity and scrutinized. And it's at this time in the city of Tallahassee and Leon County. We need a leader who understands and has dealt with these significant issues, these very complex issues that are going to impact the very quality of life we all have come to enjoy and cherish so greatly here in Leon County. So I ask for your vote.
Thank you. Okay. Gentlemen, here we go. Thought we'd start at the beginning. You know, I've covered politics in this state since the 1980s, and I thought I'd seen everything until the candidate qualifying deadline for sheriff of Leon County. Just to recap, three of you switched your party affiliations right before the qualifying deadline. Tommy Mills from Democratic to no party affiliation. Sheriff Mike Wood from Democrat to no party affiliation. Charlie Strickland from no party affiliation to Republican. Legal, but it's been described in the pages of our local newspaper as expediency, gamesmanship, and worse. We're going to begin here with Tommy Mills. Why switch if not for pure political advantage?
While canvassing the community, and I dealt with this last time running as sheriff, people would say, I can give you a check, but I can't vote for you because you're in a closed primary. I believe that the office of sheriff ought to have an open primary. I swap Democrat to NPA that everybody can vote for the sheriff. That's their constitutional right, to vote for the sheriff of Leon County, not to be in a closed primary, but for everyone to decide. If I'm not the man, that's fine, but at least everyone had the opportunity under our democracy to vote for the next sheriff of Leon County.
Okay. Charlie Strickland.
Well, at the last minute, two candidates abandoned their base. I'm leaving my party. I'm going to the middle because I don't see a path to success. I can't win where I'm at. I was a Republican. I seized on the opportunity to return to my base. I didn't see a path to succeed the way the election goes, running as a partisan politician as a Republican in Leon County up front, because we haven't had one since probably Reconstruction. A Republican sheriff is unheard of. Well, they gave me a stellar opportunity to return to my base and for the first time in at least 100 years have a Republican sheriff for Leon County. Now, I don't think that the sheriff's race should be partisan either, but the fact is it is. Everybody was going to get a chance to vote on November the 8th. It was just going to be between me and one of them. Now you get to pick between all of us. So the winner's probably not going to have 51%, but I've got an opportunity to win as a conservative and be a conservative voice in our community, and that's why I changed.
Mike Wood.
Well, our strategy, and it was a strategy, was no different than other candidates who filed as an NPA to guarantee themselves a spot in the general election. When one of the candidates decided to change from Democrat to NPA in the ninth hour, I stepped back, I looked, I evaluated what I thought was best, knowing that I have support on both sides of the aisle. And I knew that if I changed from Democrat to NPA as it relates to running in the election, that I would give every citizen in Leon County the opportunity to evaluate all four candidates. Given that set of circumstances, I'm prepared to live with the outcome. So if strategy is a bad thing, it was his strategy. But on the other side of that coin, when I was hired with the sheriff's office in 1983, I was a registered Democrat. I've never changed my party affiliation. Under these circumstances, I felt like because I had support from both sides of the aisle, this was the best move for my campaign.
Walt McNeil.
Steve, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm the only person here who has stayed on course in terms of defining who I am and living by those values. I can recall when I was Secretary of the Department of Corrections. As you perhaps know, I was a Democrat who was asked to come and help Charlie Crist straighten out a number of departments. When Charlie decided to do something else and Rick Scott came on, some of my staff said, Mr. Secretary, all you got to do is change your party affiliation and you can continue here with the Department of Corrections. I said, I won't do that. That would have been a strategy, but it would have been the wrong strategy. A sheriff has to stand for integrity of what he stands for. You as citizens of Leon County have to know what your leaders stand for and be consistent in what you believe. And that's what I've tried to do, and that's what I'll continue to do.
All right. Thank you. This next round of this questions is we're going to start with Charlie Strickland for this question. And the ground rules are you have up to a minute to respond, but when you hear the question, it won't take a minute, I don't think. The people of Leon County pay a lot of hard-earned money in taxes to support the Leon County Sheriff's Office. Mr. Strickland, give us a little civics lesson, just in basic round numbers. What's the current budget of the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and how many full-time employees are there?
There's about $70 million, and there's just under 700 employees.
Tommy Mills, is he right?
Close.
Close. Sheriff Mike Wood.
$65 million rounded up and 615 employees.
Walt McNeil, those numbers will sound right to you?
He's a sitting sheriff. He should know.
He's right.
Is that a bad thing?
I've said you're correct, sir.
Okay. Fair enough. I looked on the Leon County website yesterday, and what I found was $69.7 million and 608 authorized FTEs, so close enough. Let's start this next question with Sheriff Mike Wood. Earlier this year, during the legislative session, you publicly opposed open carry and campus carry legislation that was strongly supported by the National Rifle Association, and you said at one point, quote, "It doesn't make us any safer." Marion Hammer of the NRA singled you out by name and said you're not a supporter of the Second Amendment and you're not a supporter of law-abiding gun owners in this community. How do you respond?
She did say that. And when I got the email that day telling me what a jerk I was, I was out quail hunting with my shotgun enjoying my Second Amendment rights. So what I will tell you is my position is clear. I'm an advocate of the Second Amendment. I'm an advocate of concealed carry as it's structured in the state today. I oppose open carry for the impacts it would have on law enforcement responses to law enforcement activities. And I oppose carry on campus for a multitude of reasons, including I'm just not sure that the maturity level of the students on campus and the environment that they're in would be conducive to having guns on campus. I have openly acknowledged other states are allowing it. Maybe it's something to review, but as we stand, my position is unchanged. I am, contrary to what Marion says, because we have never had a conversation, contrary to what she says, I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment.
All right. Walt McNeil.
Well, I support the Second Amendment. I oppose open carry. I oppose campus carry. And I came to these conclusions not simply by my own beliefs. Obviously, I believe that in our Second Amendment. But I had to reach out to experts across the country in terms of what's best for our community. And without fail, what I hear back from law enforcement officers and experts are that open carry creates a number of problems and issues for us here in our community, and obviously the issues with campus carry. But one thing that's not being talked about is the issue of assault weapons, and that's something I oppose as well. Assault weapons, as you can probably see, law enforcement has to get more and more weapons, bigger and better weapons, simply because our citizens are armed with AK-47s as well. And that's an escalation process that has to stop.
Mr. Mills.
I, too, support the Second Amendment. I believe that the law as written right now gives the individual citizen who has a permit to defend both life and property. When it comes to the campus carry, I, too, have some concerns. And I believe that the institution ought to make those choices because they are the ones that are going to be totally responsible for everybody that's on campus. Having open carry does create issues for law enforcement. When we show up 30 years ago, we knew that whenever we responded to any incident or any call for service, there was one gun present. That was the one we had on our hip. And it was our job to protect that and to ensure that we had not only answered the call, but everybody at that situation was safe. Now, because of everyone who's carrying, we have to assume that everybody has a gun now. But at the end of the day, we've got to make choices when we show up. Who is the bad guy? Who's the good guy? And then save lives in a split second.
Mr. Strickland, I just want to recast the question very quickly, sir, and that is, if you're sheriff of Leon County, would you support or oppose open carry and campus carry?
Well, anybody that knows me knows I own Talon Shooting Range. I train people to protect themselves. So without a doubt, I'm certainly not going to oppose anything that expands our constitutional rights, and that does include things that expand our Second Amendment constitutional right. Article 1, Section 8 of the Florida Constitution says the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed for the purposes of lawful self-defense. Then there's the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. It doesn't say anything about duck hunting. It doesn't say anything about quail hunting. It doesn't say anything about assault weapons or what any of that. What it says is that the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. At 2 o'clock in the morning when somebody's coming in your house, you need to be able to exercise your constitutional right to protect yourself. As the laws were written in the last legislative session, the Florida Police Chiefs Association was actually in support of that legislation, the open carry legislation. I've got daughters that go to college here in town. They're not old enough to get a permit, so they're not old enough to carry. I don't doubt their maturity level. We've got 21-year-olds that can't carry a gun on campus, but they can go fight a war for us at 18.
I want to use the moderator's prerogative here and ask a quick follow-up question of you, Mr. Strickland, and we'll work our way around. But you just heard Sheriff Mike Wood say a minute ago, if I'm paraphrasing correctly, we're in one of the biggest university communities in the United States here, and Sheriff Wood said he questions the maturity level of a lot of college kids to be able to responsibly handle a firearm on campus. What is your response, sir?
Well, my response is that 18-year-old that we've got getting his limbs blown off in Afghanistan who comes home to go to college can't carry a firearm to protect himself and protect his friends and our campus, our professors. There are a lot of support for open carry and for campus carry in this community. It's not a politically correct thing to talk about, but the fact is it's our constitutional right, folks, and I support the Second Amendment as it reads. Now, the legislature doesn't care what I think, so, you know, I will voice my opinion, but I don't write the laws.
Sheriff Wood.
Well, my opinion stands. And, you know, the maturity level of 60,000 college kids is not the maturity level of a brigade of soldiers who have trained to fight. That's their sole purpose. And make no mistake, that's not disparaging the military. We wouldn't be here today without them. And I don't forget that. But at the end of the day, it's about public safety. And college campuses, in my opinion, and much like Mr. Strickland, I'm going to adhere to what the legislature decides, but you're asking me the question, so I'm opposed to campus carry.
Okay. I'm going to let Walt McNeil and Mr. Mills also give a brief rebuttal to that same point that Mr. Strickland just made.
Well, first, obviously, I support the Second Amendment, but I dare say that our forefathers, never anticipated we'd have the kind of weaponry we have today that could shoot 200-300 rounds in matters of seconds. So I definitely oppose assault weapons on our streets of our community. Also, as relates to campus carry, you know, just this week, we had a police department going through a civilian training process, and a police officer shot and killed one of the persons who were involved in the training. Folks, guns on campus, mistakes are going to be made. Guns are going to fall on the ground. There are going to be circumstances where people are doing things together, and tragedies are going to take place. It's not an issue of how much maturity we have. It's also an issue of law enforcement responding to campuses and trying to figure out who's the bad guy. When everybody on campus has a gun and there's a firefight going on, who do the officers focus on?
Tommy Mills.
I, too, support the Second Amendment as stated. But carrying on campus and maturity level, Strickland pointed out, but those men that are in the military, they didn't just go to the military and sign some administrative paperwork and get a gun and go shooting. They were well-trained because that's what it is they do. If we will put our college kids through that kind of training, that the military put their people through, I would say yes.
All right.
Sheriff mentioned my name, so I get a short rebuttal.
Go ahead. Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
As the only firearms instructor, taser instructor, defensive tactics instructor, I was one of the lead instructors at the sheriff's office. I've been training cops for a long time, over 20 years. Okay. So when we talk about what law enforcement officer, just a year ago I was a watch commander on the streets of this very town answering calls, going to situations. I was in a struggle over a gun over it just a little over a year ago. Okay, I get what's going on the streets. Rank and file law enforcement officers aren't in opposition to this. When leaders say, yeah, it creates an administrative issue, it's a political issue, the fact is it's not the concern everybody thinks it is. And I want my daughters to be able to defend themselves when they're old enough and permitted and trained. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to shift gears to a different topic, and we're going to begin this time with Walt McNeil, because this subject does touch on your experience, sir, in the Department of Corrections. You know, we live in a diverse state and a very diverse community. There are severe racial disparities in the people who are sent to prison in the Department of Corrections in this state. I've got the latest data right here that I got from the DOC last week before I came to this debate when the Tiger Bay folks asked me to moderate. Statewide, 47% of the inmate population in the Florida Department of Corrections is African American. The black population in the state is between 15-18%. Yet in Leon County, 75% of the inmates who are convicted of crimes in this county are African American. I'm going to begin with you, Secretary McNeil. Why is this, and what can and should be done about it?
Well, there are a number of issues that play into those numbers. One is we have to realize that one of the things that creates crime in our community, obviously, is lack of education and lack of jobs. And on the south side of our community, I was sharing earlier that, unfortunately, in Leon County, we somehow have an environment that has created, for whatever reason, an environment of the have and have-nots. 60 to 70% of the persons living on the South Side, and predominantly African Americans, live at or below the poverty level. We have to engage in terms of trying to create jobs. And that's one of the things I'm going to try to do when I'm your sheriff, is to talk about how we can, right here in Leon County, create a Leon County Sheriff's Youth Ranch that seeks to deal with some of those issues, to partner with our school system, to partner with FSU and FAMU in terms of how we create jobs. I talked to our real estate people. I'm sorry, my time is up.
Okay, very good. Ms. Mills?
One more time on the question.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. It's the racial disparities that show up in the Department of Corrections figures, and understand this is the county in which the person was convicted in, but about half of all inmates in the state prison system are African American, but from Leon County the figure is 75%. That's a percentage way higher than Miami-Dade, for example. Why is this, and what should be done about it?
First of all, we've had this data for a long time. This data did just happen yesterday. I've heard it sounded more than 20 years ago. But still, we continue to do law enforcement in the same old way. The only thing I've said to you and twice in running for sheriff is that there's a better way to do this. We don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over. When we look at the law, we have these numbers. We ought to be transparent in looking at those and say, how do we fix this? And right now, as of today, we don't have anything down in those communities to bring about a difference. It's about accountability. It's about being fair as we administer our law enforcement services throughout this community. The citizens of Leon County, our job as law enforcement is to ensure everyone's liberty, their equality, and justice for everybody. When we don't have the law enforcement services down in those communities that truly need it, we got a problem. Now, the people that we say are the problem, they're neither manufacture the stuff that gets down there, they're neither transport it, but yet it shows up daily.
Okay. Mr. Strickland.
We've got to do a few things. Working the streets in this town and seeing what I've seen and being in people's homes and listening to people's issues. Listen, when I arrest somebody, I arrest a person that committed a crime. I don't ask about their race. I ask about, did you commit the crime? Yes, and you go to jail. That's not good enough anymore. The sheriff's office has to take a leadership role. We have to take a national stance. We have to have people looking at us and saying they're doing something unique, innovative in the capital county of the third largest state in the world's greatest nation. Look at Leon County. And what we're going to do is we're going to take our Sheriff's Explorer program and we're going to expand it to at-risk youth. And we're going to get kids to go to college based with donations, not taxpayer dollars, but donations from people in this room. So get ready. I'm going to ask. And we're going to put these kids in school and we're going to put them in their neighborhoods working as law enforcement officers with mentoring and tutoring. We're going to get in the school system and we're going to start teaching curriculum about how to behave in our society, how to interact with law enforcement, the consequences of your actions. We are going to build bridges in this community. We're going to be out on the front line, and we're going to make a difference. But it can't just be arrest the bad guy. It has to be real community interaction.
Sheriff Wood.
Well, right after becoming sheriff, I shared this stage with Chief DeLeo, and I told some of you guys that are here today a story about working a homicide when I was a slick sleeve detective back in the 90s. And they were in the very neighborhoods we're talking about. But we're talking about law enforcement services. I don't debate that what we do impacts the ability to bring business and create jobs, but we're not a job-creating organization. This picture is bigger than just law enforcement. Our jails have disparate racial makeup. There's multiple contributors: the courts, the law enforcement, the community, lack of education, lack of opportunity, lack of parents, lack of supervision. I told you this story about walking those neighborhoods at night working on a homicide and finding kids out and about without supervision, not knowing where they were from or where they were going or where they were going to become. But I knew this, they were going to wind up in our jail one day, and they didn't choose. This is a huge social and community issue. No one person can take the reins of the sheriff's office and solve these community ills. The statistics demonstrate where the violent crime is in this community.
Okay. Next question, and don't go far there, Sheriff Wood. We're coming back to you first with this one, sir. Headline, page one, Tallahassee Democrat, June 8th of this year, quote, highest crime rate again. The story said that based on data from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the overall crime rate in Leon County went up 5.7% in the past year, and violent crime went up 16% in Leon County. Sheriff Wood. Based on those statistics, why should the people of Leon County give you an additional 4 years in office?
Well, because first of all, I've been a sheriff for about 18 months, and we have taken initiatives, and we've collaborated with the police department, and we're working towards a reduction in crime stats. Those stats that he cited are unacceptable. What I can tell you today, and you're going to hear more about it in detail next week as we sit here, we've completed our six-month evaluation. We do two periods, first 6 months, second 6 months, to submit to our uniform uniform crime report, and our crime rate in Tallahassee is down double digits. Our violent crime rate is down double digits. So we are doing things in the community that I would love to talk about in 30 seconds. I wouldn't be able to begin to tell you about it, but what I can tell you statistically, if we're going to drive this entire campaign statistically, the crime rates are starting to go down, and they're going down by double digits this year. I don't pretend to take full credit for that because I don't think that's appropriate. But the bottom line is the men and women in this community are out working hard, and we've got some innovative programs that seem to be taking hold.
To respond, Walt McNeil.
Steve, the issue of crime in our community is in large part a lack of leadership and understanding the complexity of the crime we have. I was talking just the other day to our hospital people, and they understand that regionally they are getting people to come into our community from all over the southeastern region. We have here in Leon County a regional problem as well. Crime comes to Tallahassee from Gaston County, Jefferson County, Wakulla County, and there is not a concrete and concerted effort, ongoing, sustainable, to deal with those issues and problems. There's not a vision. There's a lack of a vision in terms of what's taking place. And one of the things I'm going to do, and I've said this before, is we're going to create a Leon County or Second Judicial District task force or department that's focused on dealing with these crime problems. Because the problem is bigger than simply Leon County. It's all those outlying counties that are socially and economically depressed. And you got the South Side and those other counties impacting Tallahassee and Leon County.
Mr. Mills.
Those numbers are staggering, and they're definitely unacceptable. As I said before, we can talk about programs all we want. Programs are about spending money, and then it's time for those programs to come online. But what are we going to do about right now? You got a bunch of criminals who set up shop in our county. Over the last 10 years, if you look at property value of crime in this county that was stolen, it averaged $16.2 million. There are a lot of business people in here don't make that a year. So crime pays in Leon County. We got to do something about it. How do you do something about it? By going down there and saying to the bad guy, look, you're not going to do it on my watch. And what we do, as has been pointed out, we got to not talk about we're working together. We've got to have a concerted effort, create an atmosphere where we do work together, cooperation, collaboration, and unity. And let me tell you, the police department and the sheriff's office, we're on the same side. We're fighting crime. But yet when the sheriff's office does his initiative, the police department is not there. When the police department does their initiative, the sheriff's department is not there. And we say we're together.
Mr. Strickland.
One of the first things we have to do before we go out into the community and make a difference is we got to repair the relationship between the community that we're targeting and law enforcement. And ways to do that is a body camera program where the law enforcement officers feel comfortable going into calls and knowing that their side of the story will be told at the end of it, not some partial cell phone video. The public will know that their constitutional rights will be protected. And once we do that and we have a more transparent agency in a process, a community review board to look at what we're doing. We bring in members of every corner of our community, and we start to work together, and we get people's trust back again. Not this room's trust. You trust law enforcement by and large, but the community that we really are spending our time in. Once we do that, then we can start to build bridges, neighborhood policing, real neighborhood policing, where the same deputy goes to the same calls on a regular basis. We know each other. We reach out. We shake hands. We learn how to talk to people again, make eye contact, communicate. These are the keys. It's not an overnight process, and it's not a program, but it's something that we've got to do to reconnect.
All right. I want to get back to the election. But you, by the way, you guys are being way too nice to each other. So, actually, in all seriousness, it's good to hear substantive answers to what are, you know, complex and serious problems and issues in the community that we all care about and love living in. I heard the comments at the outset about switching party affiliation to avoid a closed primary that, in effect, disenfranchises voters. And that's all well and good. But here's the question. We've got four candidates here running in a one winner-take-all election. And do the math. It's very likely that the winner of this election in November will get less, and perhaps much less, than 50% of the votes cast. Here's the question. I'm going to start here with you, Mr. Strickland. What specifically will you do as sheriff of Leon County to unite this community after an election in which the majority of voters will have voted for someone else?
I'm going to start running for re-election day. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, people in this community want to get behind a real leader. This is a selection process. This is a hiring board. You're interviewing us. You're deciding which one of these guys you want to hire to be the CEO of this organization. I'm the only CEO up here, all right? I'm the only person with an MBA. I'm the person that runs a business. I get it. I'm going to show the public of Leon County, one, that we can do some innovative, new, energetic things that are going to be different than what we've done in the past. We can't reach in our back pocket or go back 10 years or even 5 years and say the solution to our new problems is what we've done in the past. This has got to be new. It's got to be different. And in 3 or 4 years, when the election rolls around, when I'm the sheriff, I think the community will get behind me if I'm able to be successful. And listen, if I'm not successful, that's the beauty of an elected sheriff's position. You put somebody else in here. So I don't think people are going to look at it as Republican or Democrat in 4 years. They're going to say, look, he did a good job, and that's what counts.
Sheriff Wood.
Well, we're doing the answer to your question, what we're doing and not what we're going to do, because I have a unique opportunity to be here for some very, very unfortunate circumstances. So as it relates to uniting this community, you know, I know program seems to be a bad word, but we have implemented programs. We're the first sheriff's office, the first law enforcement agency in the nation to implement adult civil citations. And this defers young people from a criminal record that may keep them out of school, out of a job, out of an opportunity, which is the very conversation we've had previously. So that's forward thinking on the sheriff's office part and on my part, quite frankly. We're doing juvenile civil citations. We have a web-based program that refers at-risk youth, because I sense that our at-risk youth are really the root of the problem. And if we don't get some of the problems resolved early, we're going to be dealing with them later, as is truth by the population of our jail today. So, you know, we're out in our community. And by the way, we will have body cameras implemented by the end of the year. And that is certainly forward thinking on the sheriff's office part as well, for our transparency and our willingness to go out and do what we do, knowing that we're not afraid of the truth as an organization or a community.
Mr. McNeil.
The sheriff is perhaps the voice that's most heard in all political arenas around our community. The sheriff has to be that person who is about bringing our community together from the south side, north side, all over Leon County. I plan to do that. One of the things that Mike Wood just talked about was civil citations. Well, you should know that when I was your police chief, we created the civil citation program. It's folks taking leadership, being involved, and not seeing the sheriff's office as simply a law enforcement job. This is greater than simply law enforcement. It's about how you coalesce around all the issues that are important to our community and sit down and have dialogue with every aspect of our community, talking about the issues and how they can help change the environment, improve every side of our community, engage and talk about all the various issues that impact us in a real way. The sheriff's office is not merely law enforcement. It's got to be seen greater than that.
All right. Mr. Mills.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're looking for more than just a sheriff, but you're looking for a servant, one that will serve, that will provide the service that's required, and then it will be about serving, and then most of all, be a servant. That's what I've done for the last 35 years. Not only have I worked to earn a paycheck in this community, but for the last 35 years, I've been down putting a lot of sweat equity hours in this community. Why? Because I care. Why? Because this is my home. I want it to be safe. I volunteer. I sit on 4 Kiwanis boards. I'm the longest serving board member at Habitat for Humanity. I volunteer at Gilcrest, DeSoto Trail, Childs High. Let me tell you, it's all about service. Do you love this community? If you love it, you got to vote for change. I love this community. I hope you love it. I hope you want your family safe. I hope you want your property safe. I hope that we do have create a better environment for our children. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by continuing doing what we're doing. All I hear is after when I become sheriff, no, I've been serving all the time. That's what's going to make the difference.
We're going to begin this round again with Sheriff Mike Wood. Sheriff Wood, last year you publicly acknowledged a marijuana possession arrest that occurred many years ago, and it did not impede you from having a long career in law enforcement in this community and in this state.
Yes, sir.
But here's the important question, because you weren't the first or the last person that happened to back in the 1970s. How did that, in all seriousness, how did that experience affect your views about drugs? And do you agree or disagree that too much of law enforcement's resources are spent going after nonviolent drug users?
Well, and I think that's where the civil citation program comes in. And my views are, you know, I think drugs are bad. And I was a teenager, and I was one of those immature people that would be on one of our college campuses on any given day. There's no excuse for what I did. I could tell you it was what was going on at the time, but that's fairly irrelevant for whatever's going on at whatever time. But my viewpoint is this, because I worked diligently to overcome that, and I had to overcome that on multiple occasions in my career, from hiring to going to the FBI National Academy backgrounds to being appointed as a sheriff by the governor of the state of Florida. Can you imagine trying to talk to the governor about this? So my point in that is this. If we can defer a youth from that burden on a civil citation for a misdemeanor marijuana arrest, then I'm certainly in favor of that.
We're going to work our way down. Mr. Strickland, you're next, sir.
Can you phrase it in a way that I can answer it without picking
sure.
on him?
Sure. In your opinion, as a law enforcement professional, are too much of the resources that law enforcement has spent chasing after nonviolent drug users?
Okay, I can answer that question. I didn't want to go there.
Sure.
Yes, I think it is. But here's the thing is, there's a victim to every crime. People know the rules. It's up to the legislature, county commission. People who write rules, laws, write the laws, will enforce them. That's our job. Do I think that we spend too much time chasing nonviolent minor drug offenses? Yeah, I think we probably do. We spend an inordinate amount of resources. A lot of our vice unit runs around chasing college kids that are selling weed when we ought to be out solving burglaries and solving violent crimes and working sexual batteries and assaults and getting in the neighborhoods more. I'd love to do that. I am a big fan of the civil citation program. I issued my people one night issued one of the first adult civil citations to Jameis Winston. You've heard that story, right? Well, anyway, thankfully for him and the FSU's football team, that program existed. And we're required by policy to issue one if they meet the criteria, and he did. So that program has been around a while. It's been around since before the sheriff was a sheriff.
Mr. Mills, just to recap, and that is the question is whether or not too much of law enforcement's resources are spent on nonviolent drug offenses. And if you agree that the answer is yes, what would you spend that money on?
I disagree. If you're using drugs and it's against the law, it's our job to enforce the law. But now, because we can come up with creative ideas like civil citation and then work on when a person is sentenced, does a sentence have to be impact so that it impacts our jails and it impacts our prison system? I was looking at Norway and some of the other countries. They've had to close down some of their jails and some of their prisons. They went back and they looked at sentencing guidelines. So we need to go back and do the same. I think it's our sentencing guidelines. It used to be if a person came in with a misdemeanor, the judges had the authority at that time, but when they sobered up and says, Tommy Mills, you came in on this and you spent 2 days in jail, I'm going to give you time served, and there was no probation. But we attached probation to everything, and we started a downward trend. We got to look at the sentencing part to these issues.
Okay. Ms. McNeil.
Obviously, the Smart Justice Initiative has talked about the fact that marijuana as a drug that's being used casually does have a negative impact on the resources we have in our community. And as such, obviously, we should look at that in a different way, and we have been. But, you know, the larger issue is in terms of marijuana use, and there's an issue of selling marijuana. Use and sale are two different things. We have to make sure that we continue to impact and deal with those persons who are selling drugs in our community differently. And we should perhaps get to the bottom of why, you know, some of the issues that we've been talking about here right now on this stage. I'm not sure you've gotten the truth about exactly what took place with some of the use that we've seen. But that's not for me to decide. That's for the citizens of Leon County to decide.
Okay. A political question, and we're going to start this time at this end of the table with you, Mr. McNeil. Now, you've referred to Sheriff Mike Wood as, quote, Rick Scott's candidate, and said that, quote, Rick Scott couldn't win an election in Leon County if his life depended on it, so why should he let him handpick our sheriff, close quote, Tallahassee Democrat, April 15th. My question is this. Why should Rick Scott be a factor in this campaign, in this election?
Well, the fact of the matter is that but for Rick Scott, he wouldn't be standing here. He wouldn't be our appointed sheriff. That's just a fact. Now, that's what's so great about America is that we get the opportunity to vote for our elected officials. And that's why we're having this forum here today. I say to you that Obviously, I stand here and I believe that I am the most qualified person for this job. I look and I see that I'm the only person who's led an organization, led three organizations successfully. And we're facing a time in our country where we are being taxed in terms of our ability to solve the problems, these complex problems of crime in our community. And it's not going to be based on someone who's just appointed, but hopefully somebody is voted on by the citizens of Leon County that has the background and experience to deal with these very complex issues.
I'm going to let Sheriff Wood go next. Go ahead, Sheriff.
Well, if not Rick Scott, it would be whoever was the governor, much like the governor that appointed Chief McNeil to the Department of Corrections, who was a Republican at the time. So what I will tell you is this. There were seven candidates that pursued this opportunity. Six of those seven candidates were Republicans. One was a registered Democrat who was never asked nor had ever had any intention of changing his affiliation for the sole purpose of securing the appointment. And the one Democrat in the lot got the appointment, and that's me. I don't apologize for being the sheriff. I spent 31 and a half years serving this community well. I went through a fair process. It was the governor's responsibility. You can blame whoever elected Rick Scott, but it was the governor's responsibility, and he was the only governor I could find when I went to the mansion for my interview. So with that said, let me just say this. I may be a bigger fan of Rick Scott's than someone else, but what I do appreciate is the privilege to serve this community.
Mr. Strickland.
I was also interviewed for the position, although I was at a business show out in Las Vegas. I won't tell you what else happened there, because what happens there stays there. And and the last question the governor asked me on the phone was, well, what makes you a better selection than Mike Wood? This is before the sheriff was interviewed. So my answer was this. Mike Wood represents where we've been, and I represent where we need to go. And I'll leave it at that, except for I think there were only a few interviews. I did score one of those interviews. I appreciate that opportunity by the governor. I told the sheriff when he was appointed, I said, you've got a year and a half to prove to us that you're going to do a good job. Frankly, he's done okay holding his own, but not doing the things that we need to do moving forward. I think that it's time for a change. It's time for a new direction, a new energy, drive, and passion. And that's going to take all of us doing that, but I think I'm the better choice.
Mr. Mills.
The governor, at the time when he had put out for the individual to submit applications, we had completed the application, and for whatever reason, the target date that he had stated, well, they closed it. So we didn't get an opportunity, so I'm not a fan of that. But nevertheless, the governor made a decision. I'm looking to the people today to make a decision, or in November the 8th. We need someone who will go down in our streets. Again, I'm saying this because what's happening is everybody's saying that I'm going to become sheriff and I'm going to go back in the back and I'm going to do some policies and I'm going to do some procedures and I'm going to create this and I'm going to create that. But crime is still on our streets. There's a fear, not only in Leon County, but across this nation. We've got to have a sheriff that will stand up, that will do the right thing, and one who has experience in standing up to criminals and telling them, no, not on my watch, and then getting the results that's required. Tommy Mills is that person.
Thank you. Next question, we're going to start with you, Mr. Strickland.
We're living in a time of a movement around the country known as Black Lives Matter. Their website says that this is a movement begun because black lives are systematically and intentionally targeted for demise, and this is an affirmation that black folks' contributions to society and humanity must be preserved and recognized in the face of oppression. Mr. Strickland, what is your opinion of the Black Lives Matter movement, and how will you work as sheriff to improve race relations in Leon County?
Well, I'm a white Republican, so what you think I'm about to say is probably not what's going to come out of my mouth. The Black Lives Matter and the Blue Lives Matter, Police Lives Matter, Every Lives Matter, we have a problem with this conversation. This conversation is not being held in a proper way, and we need to change some messaging and what it should say, because as a white guy, conservative, I hear somebody yell in my face, Black Lives Matter. What I hear, be honest with yourself, I hear Black Lives Matter more than yours. And when they hear police lives matter, they hear police lives matter more than yours. All lives matter dismisses both sides of the conversation. The verbiage should be Black Lives Matter too. Police lives matter too. People want you to acknowledge that they feel discriminated against. People want you to acknowledge that they feel beat down, that they are looking, itching for opportunity. We need to sit down with each other across the table and have a real conversation and acknowledge each other's faults and acknowledge each other's problems and our strengths. Reach across the table, shake hands, and let's move forward together.
Mr. Mills.
I, too, hear the echo of Black Lives Matter. What I hear is that someone is asking the question, why does when a black person encounter law enforcement for a minor offense that does not require death, somehow or another they end up demised? Yeah, there's a problem. But as I said to you earlier, we serve this matter out. We don't talk it out. We got to earn the trust and the respect of the citizens that's down in the community. That's why I'm saying to you, you need a leader. So all our conversation has been about sending the deputy out and sending somebody else out. But when is the leader going to go out and the deputy follow? Then we can change things. We can lower this tension and we can lower this fear in our community, but it's going to take leadership. We're still trying to do it from the bottom, send the deputy out, but where's the leader?
Ms. McNeil, Chief.
Black Lives Matter, obviously, is a concern in the African American community in terms of its relationship with law enforcement. And to the extent that leadership has to be at the forefront in dealing with these issues and understanding why there is a cry for Black Lives Matter and understand exactly what those terms mean. One of the things is that we have to understand that Black Lives Matter is simply saying that just as we are concerned about breast cancer, not to the exclusion of lung cancer, we should be concerned about all those issues at the same time. Black lives, white lives, blue lives. But the issue is, who is better positioned in our community as your sheriff to go out and deal with those issues? Past performance is perhaps the best indicator of future performance. I've dealt with these issues before effectively here in Leon County. If I'm elected your sheriff, we can do that again. Tommy talks about getting out on the streets and dealing with these issues. That's exactly what I've done, exactly what I will do.
Sheriff.
Well, black lives do matter. And as everybody has said, all lives matter. I think that it's a reality that we have to face. We have to create dialogue. I am involved in dialogue with leaders in the black community. I reach out in advance of anticipated issues. I'm receptive to the phone calls. When I hand my business card out to anybody in this community, it has my cell phone on it, which I answer. So I think it's building trust one life at a time. But that's not to discount what law enforcement's responsibilities are, because fact of the matter is we stand in the gap between order and chaos. That's our responsibility. There's lots of nuances to the office of the sheriff, and the sheriff's voice is heard throughout the community. But at the end of the day, it's about public safety. So when a Black Lives Matter issue comes up, there has to be dialogue. You have to hear. The primary part of communication is listening. But at the end of the day, law enforcement stands in the gap between chaos and order.
All right. Let's return to a pocketbook issue, and let's start this time with you, Mr. McNeil. You know, we live in a unique place because we live in a county with only one city. And we've got a city police department, and we've got a county police department, the Leon County Sheriff's Office. In 1968, the people of Duval County in Jacksonville decided to consolidate the city and county governments to save the taxpayers money and avoid duplication. What's wrong with the idea of consolidating law enforcement functions in Leon County?
Well, what's wrong with it is that the citizens of Leon County have not decided to do that. The citizens will make that decision. We're running today, as it stands right now in Leon County, it's a police department and a sheriff's office. I can't change that, nor can any of the people up here. You, the citizens, can vote, and you have voiced your concerns and your opinion time and time again. What's important for us is to not get sidetracked by issues like consolidation. The issue for us here in Leon County continues to be one of crime. And what are we doing about the problem we have of crime in our community? We need to be about looking at who has the best qualifications to deal with these issues, who has an understanding of how these social problems are impacting the very lives that we have here and the very quality of life we have here in Leon County. I submit to you that I have the background and the education and the experience to put us in a better position than we are today if I'm elected your sheriff on November 8th.
Thank you.
Mr. Mills.
The citizens numerous times have already spoken on this, and it is up to you. You have to do that, but if you decide that consolidation is the way to go, if I'm your sheriff, then I support that. Right now, in the paper, when we look at crime in Leon County, 2 years in a row having the worst crime rate, but think about it this way. We have less than 385,000 citizens here. Miami is eight or nine times the size we are. And yet, we're dead last. We're behind them. We've got a leadership problem here in Leon County. It's undeniable. We got to do something about it. I've heard some of you say we're spending too much money in our jail, too much money in our prison system. People, if we, it starts minute. We got to go out on our streets and make a difference. And it starts with leadership. We're doing all this training, and we're improving training every day. But until the leader gets out and those troops, men and women, follow him or her, we won't see a change. Mr. Strickland.
We consolidated our dispatch agency, and it cost a lot of money, and it didn't work very well. And it didn't work very well because of one key reason. There was a lack of leadership. We took two agencies, actually four agencies, EMS, fire, sheriff, police department. You shoved them all in a room and know each other. They didn't have mutual aid understandings. They didn't have what they took. They didn't have leadership, and it fell apart, and it cost lives. All right, we know about that. We've read about it. Lost a friend. We are going to have, if you want to consolidate, first the community has to drive this decision. Nobody up here is going to say, yes, let's consolidate, because it's a loser in a political campaign. But if the community drives it, I'll leverage my education, my MBA, my experience as a business person, and I'll help make it happen. Let's be honest. The sheriff has to lead the way once it happens, because the sheriff is elected. The police chief can't lead. I love him. He's a great guy. But guess what? He answers to an assistant city manager, city commission, and a mayor. He can't pick a direction. The sheriff can. And that's why if we do it, it needs to be under us. But I don't see it happening in the next 10 years.
Sheriff?
Ergo the problem. Can't agree on who the leader is. It's been debated. It's been voted on. And we're going to do what the will of the people is. And at this juncture, it would appear the will of the people is for us not to consolidate. I don't get to choose. I'm one vote. I have no intention of leading the way for consolidation. We have many more issues in our community that exceed the importance of consolidation. So, you know, as much as I love to hear myself talk, the community will drive it, and that's really all I have to say.
Okay. We've reached the point in the debate for closing statements from all four candidates. This is an opportunity to, you know, with this audience, gentlemen, to close the sale. And we're going to go in reverse order from the way we opened up. And so for the first closing statement is Walt McNeil.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you again, Tiger Bay, for having this forum. I hope I've illustrated to you, first and foremost, that I am perhaps the most qualified person to ever run for sheriff of Leon County. When you talk about having been your police chief for 10 years, Secretary of Department of Corrections, Secretary of Department of Juvenile Justice, I was elected by some 20,000 law enforcement leaders from across this nation and around the world as the president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. I am an FBI graduate. I have, Charlie talked about being a CEO. I can tell you, if you run the Department of Corrections, if you have anything to do with the Department of Corrections, you are, in fact, a CEO. And I tell you that it's leadership that's required to move us from where we are today and dealing with the major crime problems we have. I know we've talked a lot about all these guys up here. The four of us are all good people. But, folks, it's going to take a lot more than just being a good person to deal with the problems we've got. And not now, but into the foreseeable future. When you start talking about terrorist attacks in our community, you start talking about racial unrest, those are significant issues. It's going to take significant leadership to make sure we're in a place where we can deal effectively with those so they don't impact the great quality of life we all enjoy here in Leon County. Thank you.
Thank you. Charlie Strickland.
When you hire a floor manager to run a factory, a CEO of a factory, okay, your business person, you get to pick the CEO of your company. Do you hire a person that knows nothing about the industry, that's been removed from production, from the production line for 15, 20 years, that doesn't know what goes on out there with their employees, or do you hire somebody that's connected? Well, a year ago, I was out here on these streets answering these calls. I'm the most educated person up here. If you look at degrees, that doesn't mean anything. It means I tried. I've ran violent crimes. I ran financial crimes. I ran the SWAT team as a team leader. I was in the training section. I trained most of the deputies there. I've done all these jobs, and I'm connected. In the last year and a half since I've been running this campaign, I have learned a lot in leadership at Tallahassee, starting my business, getting involved in community groups. And I will tell you that while I may not have the vaulted titles and experience at that level that some of the other candidates do, it's just a title. It's just a job. You want somebody with passion, drive, experience, know-how, and determination and intelligence to lead this county, and I'm that guy.
Sheriff Mike Wood.
Well, I take issue with the suggestion there's a disconnect. I've been with the Leon County Sheriff's Office from the ground up. I've been in the streets. I've stood over the homicide victims. I've held hands with the sexual assault victims, and I've run the very units that conduct those investigations. I'm absolutely in tune with what my vice narcotics unit is doing on a daily basis, including a search warrant today that yielded a major amount of narcotics, money, and guns from the inside of the city of Tallahassee. So we're working every day, and I'm very connected to what we do. I would suggest that my pedigree or my resume is not titles. It's experiences. I've had experiences in every opportunity the sheriff's office provides, including being a director of the jail for 3.5 years. It gave me a clear understanding of not only the business model, and I take issue with the CEO, I believe I'm a CEO as well, but the business model, the operational model of a correctional facility, which is half of our budget, and the operational office side on the law enforcement division. So I sense that my experience is not just titles, it's experience, and I truly, truly have a passion for this place, the people we serve, the people I serve with, and that I will always be a resident of Tallahassee, win, lose, or draw from this campaign standpoint.
Thank you. Tommy Mills.
You've heard us, and you heard us talk about leadership. 8 years ago, I resigned from the sheriff's office, and I ran for sheriff because I saw where we're headed. I saw the decline in leadership. 4 years later, I come back and I run again, and I say to you that crime and violence is out of control here in Leon County. It's time for, at that time, I said a young man would put boots on the ground that has the energy and has what it take to make a difference. Today I still stand before you and says, I've still got it. I don't know how long I'm going to have it, but I still got it. It's time to make a change. As a leader, I saw, and I took risk. I've always taken risk. I'm going to be quick about it. I told my father at 19 that I wanted to serve my community. He looked at me, and he didn't know the verbiage like poor. He said, boy, you're poor. You don't have nothing to offer. I have everything to offer. And I've given that. If you look at my resume of serving in this community, I've served you, I've served you, I've served you. I believe in service. Thank you.
All right. Candidates. How about a hand for these candidates for sheriff?
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the Capital Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting of August 11th, 2016, featuring the candidates for Leon County Sheriff. This program was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee. Tune in again next time for another Capital Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting on WFSU-FM.